Welcome to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in central Iowa. It's good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and word of mouth. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, I'm your host for the hour with engineer Mike Murphy. And neighbor Mike Metz is here. A few sprinkles on the windshield coming into the station, and then it turned into a regular old drizzle out there this morning, Mike.
Gosh, you got that right. I thought we were expecting dew, but it was, let's just say the atmosphere was saturated.
Yeah, it is saturated, and there is a bit more on morning dew later. You know we'll want to learn about bird migration from wolf ostrich. That's coming up later in the hour at Ada Hayden Heritage Park.
Great, so we'll give him a call.
And the weather looks to be cloudy today with a high of 60 and a low tonight of 39. But right back to autumn of delight tomorrow with this weekend in the upper 60s and lower 70s. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, possibly rain next Wednesday. And it appears we will avoid a killing frost next week. How sweet and nice it is. Let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news from this week of our local newspaper.
The coronavirus and the departure of the Ames High School principal were among the big stories in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's paper, which reported that 226 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 12,590 since the pandemic started. In the Ames School District, between 15 and 21 cases of the virus were confirmed in district buildings. In the Ballard School District, fewer than 6 student cases were reported. Gilbert reported 2 student cases. And at Iowa State University, 4 cases were reported. About 63% of Story County residents over the age of 12 were said to be fully vaccinated. Also last Friday, the Trib reported that the principal at Ames High School had been removed from her position effective immediately. Valerie Nyberg had been principal for only 15 months. The district's announcement gave no reason for the move. But the district had said that fights at the high school had been a problem this fall. And a video posted online last week showed Nyberg seemingly being assaulted by someone who appears to be in a hallway at the high school. The video shows her being confronted in a doorway by someone who repeatedly curses her, questions her authority, and demands that their phone be returned to them. More than once, the person puts their hands on her and pushes her into a nearby wall. And the Trib reported that the annual Ames Artist Studio Tour would be taking place last Saturday. It's a self-guided tour where visitors could talk with artists and see where they do their creating. 11 artists were set to take part. Saturday's Trib reported on the forum that took place involving all 7 candidates for the 3 open positions on the Ames School Board. One of the top issues, what they would look for in a new district superintendent. Former Superintendent Jenny Reisner resigned in May, and Interim Superintendent Paula Vincent is leading the district for a year until a permanent successor is found. A common theme among the qualifications the school board candidates said they would look for is the ability to lead. Tom Pearl said he's looking for someone to demonstrate accountability, responsibility, and discipline. Amy Erica Smith and Kelly Winfrey said they're looking for someone who has demonstrated ability to address school climate, diversity, inclusion, and equity. Kira Weirstein said a superintendent needs to unify the district around goals of academic excellence and school spirit. Brett Becker said he wants to see a superintendent with a strong vision for the district who is thick-skinned to criticism. William Scott Dreyer said the superintendent needs to be ready to lead the district because the community cannot afford to have another short-term leader. And Rolf Duvick said someone's needed who will do everything to support teachers. All 7 candidates said they were not affiliated with the political action committee known as Ames Deserves Better. Pearl and Weirstein said all their funding has been received from friends, family, and other local people. The Trib also reported that an Iowa State University basketball player had been taken off the team. Xavier Foster was said to be the target of a sexual assault investigation. Foster had arrived at ISU as a 4-star recruit. Surgery on his foot limited him to just 7 games last year. It was later reported that Foster has entered the transfer portal. Also last Saturday, the Trib reported that Iowa State University graduates from last year would finally get their chance for an in-person commencement exercise last weekend. Their graduations in 2020 were held virtually, not in person, because of the coronavirus pandemic. But that changed last Saturday when an in-person ceremony took place at the Hilton Coliseum in Ames. And there was word that for the rest of this month, Staff members from The Bridge Home would be available at the Ames Public Library to help people who are at risk of or experiencing homelessness. The staff will be there Tuesdays and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. The Bridge is a nonprofit group that provides preventive services and housing programs aimed at combating homelessness. Sunday's paper reported that Youth and Shelter Services in Ames, known as YSS, plans to build a new 70-bed campus in Story County. It will cost $13 million and be built on 53 acres in rural Cambridge. The land has been donated by the McFarland Clinic's Dr. Jay Brown, and the project has received $10 million in support from Central Iowa Community Services. The new facility could be opened by 2023. The campus will be used for young people who need mental health and substance abuse services. YSS now offers 3 to 4 months of substance abuse treatment. There was also word that Martha's House of Hope, which is a Christian nonprofit organization in Ames, has received a $2,500 grant from the group A Community Thrives. That's a program that supports nonprofits. Martha's House of Hope offers a home to pregnant women until their baby's first birthday. The organization encourages mothers to strive for lives of self-reliance. Residents are expected to work or volunteer 20 to 40 hours a week and accept mentoring and counseling services. The organization also offers coaching, parenting classes, and help with the adoption process. And there was a report that the City of Ames will hold a town hall along with Iowa State University to talk about climate change. It will take place on October 25th at 6 p.m. at the City Council Chambers on Clark Avenue. The meeting will be part of a year-long effort designed to formulate a climate action plan, which is expected to be completed next summer. Tuesday's paper reported on the new Iowa law that requires students from grades 1 through 12 to recite the Pledge of Allegiance each day, or to sit it out while their peers recite it. And they must do so in the presence of the American flag. That's created problems for some schools, which did not have flags inside their classrooms. Most spent hundreds of dollars from school budgets to buy new cloth flags. Some chose to use images of the flags from computer screens or a piece of cloth, and some schools contacted their local American Legions for donations. The Des Moines School District, which has about 2,500 classrooms, bought about 630 flags over the summer, mostly to replace faded ones. That cost about $4,200. The Iowa City School District bought 768 flags at a cost of about $8,400. And the Ames School District spent nearly $3,000 to buy flags. And the trip also had word about the recent new coronavirus wave that has swept through nursing homes in Iowa. Experts say that's mostly due to the fact that one-third of nursing home workers in the state have not been vaccinated. Those staffers are bringing the virus into their facilities from the community, and that's led to more breakthrough infections among elderly residents who have been vaccinated but who have weaker immune systems. The president of the Iowa American Association of Retired People branch says, in his words, it's like watching a tornado form in a cornfield. Wednesday's paper reported that the Ames School Board had approved the timeline to tear down the existing high school. A new high school is being built next to the current one, and the new one is expected to be finished by next April and opened by next August. The old building is expected to be torn down sometime between next November and March of 2023. The board has approved putting that demolition out to bid on November 18th and to approve the winning bid on December 13th. In other school district news, focus groups were set to be held yesterday and today in the search for a permanent district superintendent. 200 people were invited to take part in the focus groups. Former Superintendent Jenny Reisner resigned in May, and Interim Superintendent Paula Vinson is leading the district this school year. The permanent superintendent will take over next July. And the Trib reported that since the first of the month, the Ames Fire Department has been providing more advanced care at the emergency medical technician level. The department is on track to be a full EMT-level service provider by this coming January. That means every rig that goes out of an Ames Fire Department station will have an EMT-certified firefighter on it. 60 firefighters work at the fire department. Yesterday's Trib reported that the Ames City Council had decided to wait and review precincts and wards created by Story County, rather than proceed with creating their own. The county auditor's office said it will create precincts for the entire county after the state legislature adopts new legislative and congressional district maps as part of a process that takes place every 10 years. The legislature rejected the first draft of such districts earlier this month. During Iowa's last redistricting 10 years ago, the city of Ames drew up its own map. Once the legislature passes new maps of districts statewide, cities have 60 days to create their own maps, and counties have 90 days. The new wards and precincts will go into effect next July. The Trib also reported that early voting had started this past Wednesday for Iowa's city council and school board elections. October 13th was the first day for in-person early voting and for mail-in voting. That was 20 days before the November 2nd elections. Those elections are the first time Iowans will be voting statewide since Republicans in the state legislature passed sweeping changes to the state's election laws this spring that shortened the early voting period from 29 days to 20 and changed the rules for when absentee ballots must be returned. There was also word that Iowa's biggest power provider had warned that thousands of residential natural gas customers could see their heating bills go up 46% to 96% this winter compared to last winter. MidAmerican Energy said that natural gas prices have more than doubled in the past year because of reduced production and inventories and because of global demand. And while that spells bad news for MidAmerican's natural gas customers, it will not affect its electric customers. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, taking my leave now for the weekend, but I'll make my way right back here to Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll have word on what's been making news around Iowa. And there's been a whole lot of that. In the meantime, I hope we all have a great weekend.
Take me for a walk in the morning dew, my honey. Take me for a walk in the morning dew, my love. You can go walking in the morning dew today.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News and the music interlude, Morning Dew, from Bonnie Dobson, a tune that I really appreciate on a morning such as this. The dew point was going to be saturated, and then it went above saturation, apparently,
and
with the sprinkles.
Rain.
And it became rain. Gina Nichols is a doctoral candidate at Iowa State University and is united with Vivian M. Cook and Taylor Squanner as the Foco Theater Lab. Let's learn more from Perry, the Soil Particle.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me. Today I'm sitting here on a farm near Story City, Iowa, talking with Perry. Perry, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Oh, sure. I've never done an interview before. Well, hello. My name's Perry, and I'm a soil particle.
And where are you from, Perry?
Oh, well, I'm actually from up north. Most of us soil particles are.
Wait, you aren't from Iowa? You know, I hadn't really thought about that. I think of all of this as Iowan soil.
Oh, yeah. We've got folks from all over. Let's see. Lenny the Worm is German, but his family has been here so long, he's basically native, I guess. Used to be all the organic matter folks were locals, but that's changed in the past 150 years or so. The soybeans are all Chinese-American, so yeah, we're a pretty diverse bunch.
Okay, that makes sense. So you said most soil particles are from up north. How did you all get here?
Oh, well, let's see. I was born about 400 million years ago. Most of my life I've been part of a rock. Pretty boring. Not many microbes to speak of. But very stable. A good educational system. Free healthcare. Then maybe 20 or 30,000 years ago, there was a great migration. A lot of rocks were torn apart and, you know, it was pretty traumatic. I don't think I much want to talk about it.
Oh, sure. I understand. Well, how about we skip ahead a little? I know there used to be buffalo in this area. Do you have any recollection of buffalo?
Oh, my gosh. I've never met one, but I've heard stories about buffalo. I was still about half a meter deep at that time, but me and the other soil particles would hear stories from the roots.
The roots?
Oh, yeah. Those prairie roots are chatty, let me tell ya. There was one, Billy. I think he was a blue stem. He talked for 5 years straight.
Wow, I didn't know roots had such big personalities. Were there other roots you remember?
Oh, dear. There were so many back then.
Did you ever meet a compass plant?
Oh, yeah. They weren't as common as the blue stem, but they were, let's just say, memorable.
Oh, neat! They're my favorite prairie plant. So tall with their yellow flowers. Aldo Leopold called them the birthday candle of the prairie.
Well, if Aldo Leopold ever met Anne, he probably wouldn't wax so poetic about compass plants.
What do you have against Anne, Perry?
She was a bully! You know, most other roots introduce themselves, then politely find space in the neighborhood. But not Anne. She just barged right in. She displaced a lot of soil particles that had been there for decades. The neighborhood really changed after Anne.
Oh, so the compass plant was like a prairie tillage radish.
A tillage what?
A tillage radish. Some farmers use them to reduce soil compaction, or to displace soil particles, as you put it.
I've never heard of a tillage radish.
Oh, that's fine. They're not that common, actually. But I'd like to return to something you said earlier. You said when there were buffalo, you were half a meter deep. We use the English system of measurement in Iowa, so for our local listeners, that's about a foot and a half. But today, I'm talking to you near the soil surface. How did you get up here?
Oh, well, I didn't really get here. More like the surface came to me.
What do you mean?
Well, everyone above me migrated.
You mean the foot and a half of soil that was above you has been eroded?
Eroded, migrated, tomato, tomato. They're gone.
Hello, Cruz here.
Hi, is this Dr. Rick Cruz from Iowa State University?
Yes, it is. Or you can call me Poor Rick, whichever fits best.
All right, Poor Rick. I like that. Well, great. Thanks for talking to me. Could you just give me a working definition of soil erosion?
Soil definition is technically defined as soil particles being detached from the main soil body. Those soil particles then being transported or moved from their original location and then deposited somewhere else.
Are there areas in Iowa where we may have lost a foot or 2 feet of topsoil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy.
That's, you know, when we started farming, when we broke the prairies, we typically, our best information suggests that we had 8 to maybe 16 inches of topsoil covering, mantling most of Iowa. In the springtime, you drive down the highways and notice fields that have been tilled. You see these areas on side slopes that are not this dark Iowa black gold color, but are kind of a tan or a lighter shade of gray or brown. That's exposed subsoil. Those are areas where this 8 to 14 to 16 inches of topsoil has been removed. So yes, there are areas that absolutely have lost. Now, it may not be all due to water erosion. You know, of wind erosion, and the other thing that another thing we don't talk about much is tillage erosion. Tillage erosion sounds weird, I know, but over years, every time you lift soil in the air and then let gravity pull it back down, it pulls it down slope. Huh. So there's pretty good research indicating that the quantity of soil that's moved by tillage annually, globally, is as great as the amount of soil that's moved by water.
Well, Perry, I'm sorry you've had to see so many of your fellow soil particles leave.
Oh, I don't blame them. There's not a lot to tie it down anymore. If you aren't part of a soil aggregate, there's not much of a reason to stay.
So, Perry, many of our listeners are humans and they might not know what a soil aggregate is. Could you briefly explain what you mean by that?
Oh yeah, sure. It's kind of a soil community. You see, a single soil particle is free to travel the world, can pick up and leave whenever they feel like it. There's lots of travel opportunities for soil particles these days, especially during the spring. But that life can get pretty lonely after a while. Some particles want to settle down, have some microbes of their own, plant a garden. That's hard to do on your own, so some soil particles choose to join an aggregate. It's a way to be part of something bigger than yourself.
Well, that sounds nice. Is it rude to ask, are you part of a soil aggregate?
Oh no, not rude at all. And actually, I'm proud to say I just joined one. We're still pretty small, and we are actively recruiting.
What do you mean by recruiting?
We're looking for things to join us.
By things, do you mean other soil particles?
Well, I know we are all unique snowflakes, but soil particles are a dime a dozen. What we really need is organic matter.
Why do you need organic matter?
You have to have organic matter to feed the little ones.
The little ones?
The microbes.
Oh, I see. Go on. So you're always looking for organic matter.
Yes. These days it's easy for them to eat more than we can bring in. Back when the buffalo were around, it was easier to have a huge organic matter buffet available year-round. These days, we just offer what we can. Last year, Emma and Isaiah joined us. They came from rye plants.
Does most of your organic matter come from plants?
Yes, dead plants.
Oh, so Emma and Isaiah are dead. That's kind of morbid.
Would you rather they be alive? When we trap them in our aggregate to feed to our microbes?
Good point. What plant does most of your organic matter come from?
Well, as a new aggregate, we depend a lot on corn right now. We were excited to have Emma and Isaiah. Nice to have a little variety. Some microbes are real picky eaters. On a side note, you should really talk to a corn plant. They're a hoot.
Oh, really? Why is that?
They're always into the newest, hippest thing. I met this one corn plant, Esteban. Esteban said he had a tracking device in all of his cells. Said wherever he went, someone could find out who his owner was. Seems like an overbearing parent to me, but Esteban didn't seem to mind. He only had one thing on his mind, nitrogen.
Interesting. Well, I'll certainly put a corn plant on my list of future interviewees.
Just don't give them any nitrogen if they ask for it. They always end up wasting half of it.
Oh, I won't. I usually don't carry extra nitrogen on me anyways. So you need organic matter to get your soil aggregate started. Anything else?
We'd really like to get a visit from a worm. You remember Lenny, who I mentioned earlier? One visit from Lenny would really glue our community together.
It sounds like I should also talk to Lenny at some point. Perry, I'm afraid our time is running short, but before I go, I want to ask you, do you have any final words for our listeners?
Being a virgin isn't so bad.
Huh. I'm assuming you are referring to being a virgin soil, but I'm afraid to ask. With that, I let you get back to recruiting. I wish you luck with your soil aggregate.
Oh gosh, well thanks. Come back and visit in 50 years. We should have a great aggregate going by then.
This story was written by me, Gina Nichols, and was inspired by Ian Chillog's work, Everything is Alive. The story featured Vivian M. Cook as the interviewer and Taylor Sklenner as Perry, the soil particle. Vivian is a graduate student at Iowa State University in Community Development and Sustainable Agriculture. Taylor is also a graduate student at Iowa State University, but in the MFA program in Creative Writing and Environment. They are the co-producers of Focal Theater Lab and team members of the Eco Theater Lab here in Ames, Iowa. Dr. Rick Cruz, professor of soil science at Iowa State University, made a guest appearance. This podcast is titled Consider the Soil. The series was created and produced by me, Gina Nichols, with support from a North Central Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education graduate student grant and the Practical Farmers of Iowa.
You've been listening to a production by Gina Nichols from Iowa State University about sustainable agriculture. Hard to get too much of that. So let's have a bit more morning dew with more local talk to come.
Out in the morning dew, morning. Please walk me out in the morning dew sometime. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. I'm sorry. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. But I heard a young man cry. Thought I heard a young man crying today. You didn't hear no young man crying. You did not hear no.
This is KHOY, Community Radio's Local Talk, and I'm Pat Schlarbaugh. Today with our great engineer Mike Murphy and co-host Mike Metz, let's welcome Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer with the City of Ames. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good to see you.
Oh, it's great to have you with us once again. Hey, before we introduce your guests, do you have any announcements for the city?
I think people have been noticing a little bit of fall foliage around? Foliage? What do we call it?
Yeah.
Foliage.
All the leavings of autumn.
Foliage.
Are falling. Yes.
They are falling. And so, of course, this is the time of year we get the inquiries into our no charge fall yard waste days. Boy, I'm just not hitting it this morning.
Oh, yeah, but it's coming up.
It is coming up.
The
first one is October 30th at 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Chamness Technologies on Friel Drive. That's followed by three additional free days in November, November 13th, November 20th, and November 27th. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of calls on when those are. They are listed on our website. This is the time to be collecting that yard waste, cleaning out the garden. Please, please, please don't drop your yard waste into the street. This isn't something. I know some communities, people move from places where there's a rake out. We don't have a rake out here in Ames. We have the situation where you take your yard waste to the site and then it's composted and disposed of properly. Yard waste cannot be put into your trash. So we have these days instead. So just a reminder, they're coming up.
And it's a great source of compost for people like me that live in the country, and you see these big bags getting ready to go to the recycling down on Friel Drive, and it works out well.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do an exchange where you kind of make a partnership with somebody who actually wants the leaves. And I had a farmer who I was giving my leaves to for a while, but that relationship ended. And so I used the free site. But yeah, they do make a great natural resource for bedding and for overwintering certain kinds of plants and shrubs that you want to come back next year. So I'm a big proponent of finding an alternate use for your leaves.
Absolutely. And your guest, I think this is right in her wheelhouse, if you will.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring Sarah Van Meetren, our building official, back onto the show for a little bit. First of all, I think a lot of people have a sort of a misunderstanding of what inspections do and what the inspectors do just day to day. A lot of the city policies are not proactive in that we react a lot to complaints, but our inspectors do not spend their days driving around looking for infractions. That's really not probably the most effective use of our time. But we are complaint driven when it comes to residential and rental properties. And I just thought Sarah could give an overview of some of the things her division handles and some of the things maybe that need to go to a different department.
Oh, that's great. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
What is your expertise with the City of Ames, Sarah?
So I'm currently the building official with the City of Ames and oversee the inspection division. Within our division, we do building and trade inspection. So if you're building a new house, remodeling, putting in a deck, shed, any of that, we'll issue permits for it and inspect it to make sure that it's code compliant. We also have rental housing within our division. We have three rental housing inspectors and over 15,000 rental units that we inspect on a regular basis. So they stay very busy. We also have a community codes liaison who does the code enforcement. And as Susan indicated, this is reactive enforcement. The city does have an Ames on the Go app. We get a lot of complaints through that. Just general people walking around town, seeing issues, complaints come in through there. Or they can call or email in too. So that position responds to anything from tall weeds, vehicles in yards, over occupancy on rental properties, you name it, he's on it. He stays very busy just doing reactive enforcement.
Yeah, it sounds like you're the one that really keeps everything moving forward and a lot of rental properties, of course, in a university town. And Susan kind of touched on the no burning of leaves and that sort of thing. Are there other details that are kind of time sensitive to this time of year that we need to be aware of?
Yes. Yeah, so along with not burning your leaves, obviously that one causes issues that it stinks. People don't like that. It's smoky. Now is also the time of year where some folks have their windows open and we don't want that infiltrating their homes. Yeah. So be cognizant of that. Also, just regular recreational fires. This is the time of year for those. People are trying to stay toasty when they're outside in the evening, so they have fires. And you might not know, but the inspection division is a division of the fire department. So we try to do some education to help them as well. So for recreational fires, we want people to keep them away from combustible materials. They have to be in a container. There needs to be an extinguishing source nearby, and it needs to have a human by it just to make sure that it stays in control. So if a neighbor does call in a recreational fire that seems to be out of control, the fire department will respond and make sure you're complying with all those regulations.
Is there one area that kind of overrides a lot of the complaints or issues that are created that is worth bringing up that you have to deal with periodically?
Our issues are really seasonal. So in the summer, it's a lot of noxious weeds. We deal with weeds and tall grass. The fall, we'll start dealing with, right now, as you may have noticed around town, there's a lot of political signs. So we make sure that those are not in the rights of way. They can't be in that area between the street and the sidewalk, but you can have as many as you want on your private property. So we regulate those. And then as we're getting into fall, you know, as Susan said, yard waste, we don't want piles of leaves and branches remaining on properties. So those kind of uptick also right now.
I see. And this might be not in your area of official capacity, but is there a regulation to not have couches and chairs on your front porch in campus town?
There is indeed, and it is citywide, so not just campus town, and it's not restricted to rental properties. So you cannot have any furniture that's intended for indoor use outdoors. They tend to, someone sits on there with a cigarette, it starts on fire. Insects might like to hang out in them. So we want to keep those inside. If it's specifically designed for outdoors, you know, patio seating, that's okay. We'll allow that to remain.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. And I guess we're going to be, I think it was a year ago, we already had our first 4-inch snowfall in October, but I hate to bring this up, but are there regulations requiring our attention during snow removal time of year?
Yes, that's the worst four-letter word of all, I think.
Then, yeah, we could have put this off maybe, but yet it is that time
yep,
of year.
That's right. It's coming up. I remember snow on trick-or-treating days when I was little. So yeah. The time has come. Basically, if snow falls, you have 10 hours after the last snowfall to get your sidewalk cleared. And if you don't do that, the city will send you a notice or post a notice on your door and I believe give you 24 hours to do it. And if it's not done within that time frame, our fine public works crew will come out and remove the snow for you and it will get charged back to you.
There you go. Is there anything else that's coming to mind? I know I'm going to repeat that the yard waste date is coming up October 30th. Is there anything else, Susan or Sarah?
I would just say as a side note, October is Fire Prevention Month, and it's a great reminder to make sure everyone has smoke detectors in their homes and their batteries are functioning to keep egress paths clear, step away from stoves and furnaces so that we don't have extra fires. Notoriously, the winter fires increase for us. So,
oh, that's a really good one right there, October Fire Prevention Month. Yeah, if you don't have smoke detectors, you probably should. You should check those batteries. Go ahead and just replace them and keep everything in good working order because it's something that everyone needs to keep in mind. Be safety conscious this time of October, that's for sure.
I could just add just a couple of things for the end of the month. We have a busy month coming up ahead. And I mention these just about every time I'm on because I want to make sure people have these on their calendar. But that Monday, end of the month, October 25th, is the Climate Action Plan Town Hall meeting. We have a council meeting that October 26th, the last meeting of October. We have a Franklin Park ribbon cutting coming up that Thursday.
Yeah.
We're turning that into what we're calling a truck and treat or a City Expo touch a truck at Franklin Park from 4 to 5 with the ribbon cutting at 5 p.m. on Thursday, October 28th.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we talked about trick or treat being actually on Halloween, trick or treat in Ames, 5:30 to 7:30 recommended hours on Sunday, October 31st. Then we get into early November where we have Election Day. We don't want to forget to vote on Tuesday, November 2nd. We have some council members who are on the ballot. And then we kick off our budget process on Thursday, November 4th with the town budget meeting. So we'll have more guests coming up next week to go into these events in more detail. but I'd like to get those on people's calendars or on their radar now so they're not surprised.
Oh, that's just great, Susan, and we really appreciate those timely reminders and the guests, obviously, of what's to come, but it's hard to have our calendars too up to date this time of year. That's for sure.
I think people need a lot of reminders, and I certainly appreciate those reminders. So even though I feel a bit like a broken record, I will come in and say it again and again.
And you do it so well. Thank you, Susan. Susan Guiasta, Public Relations Officer with the City of Ames, and Sarah Van Meteren, you're our building official. Thanks so much for being on Local Talk. Have a good weekend.
Pat.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
There is no more morning dew. Now there is no more morning dew. What they've been saying all these goddamn years has come true. I knew it was true. Now there's no more morning dew.
And with ISU Extension, Michaela Vanderberg is here, has joined us through the technology of Zoom. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, how are you guys?
It's great to hear your voice. I'm excited to learn more about your program, the Ag and Natural Resource Program Director.
Yes, yep. So I get to work with all of the ag-related consumers in Story County. So that includes farmers and gardeners and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah. And what a key role. And it kind of carrying on the mandate of ISU Extension. It seemed you were set up as an organization to kind of be a bridge between the college and now university atmosphere and the producers and homekeepers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a perfect way to explain it. We connect that research from the university to our clientele out in their counties. Absolutely.
Well, and so this role that you've grown into, are you a recent graduate? Or tell us a little bit about how you became our ISU Extension Ag and Natural Resource Program Director.
Yes. Yep. So I am just the Story County Program Coordinator for, I actually graduated from ISU in 2019 and just went right into this role. So I've been in this role since I graduated about 2.5 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Are there mentors that kind of guided you in this direction?
A little bit. Growing up, I was very active in my own county's extension office programming, and I knew that this is exactly where I wanted to go. So I latched on to some of my teachers and some county extension office people from a county I'm from to guide me in this direction.
And what would be one of those areas that you feel like is one of your bedrock featured foundation stones of your work here with ISU Extension and Story County?
Absolutely. We work as a big team. My big programming right now, decide applicator certification. So all of those businesses and farmers that apply pesticides or herbicides like to your lawn or to crops or anything like that, fertilizer, I help get them certified through the Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship. So I'm that connection through that department as well. That is coming up starting in October and we'll go through the winter. And I just wanted to remind people that will be at our new office. We have moved to Ames, and that's 1421 South Bell Avenue, Suite 107 in Ames.
And that is out by the interstate and north side of New 30.
Kind of. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We are right at the corner of Interstate 35 and Highway 30 on the northwest corner.
And access that from Old Lincoln Way, I believe.
Absolutely.
On the Bell Avenue. Yeah, that's where you're located. Is there anything else on your calendar that you'd like to include today?
Yes, we have a new program rolling out here in November. It's called Business Plan Express. And so we are having one of our community and economic development people come in and teach people and to use a software that helps them see if their business plan that they have in their head will actually work money-wise and logistically. And he is going to be giving like one-on-one consultation for everyone who attends that meeting in that program. And that will be two sessions on November 9th and this November 16th. I believe those are both Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8. And if you have any questions, want more information, or want to sign up for that class, you can definitely give me a call at our office. And our phone number is 515-337-1601. And I can get you signed up and hooked up with that teacher to help you get some more information about that class.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for including that telephone number, 515-337-1601. And what a great workshop, Business Plan Express.
Yes. Yep. We think it'll be a beneficial program for lots of our clientele here in Story County who have a business or want to grow a business or want to start their own business. This will be a beneficial course for anyone thinking that.
Well, and we will have your contact information on our website, reference this program, ISU Extension Ag and Natural Resource Program Director Michaela Vanderberg. Is there anything else?
We have a lot of other program going on, not enough time in the day to talk about it all. So if you want to see what else we have going on, you can check out our website, which is extension.iastate.edu/story, or you can Google Story County Extension.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Michaela Vanderberg. Thanks
awesome.
For being
Thank
on Local Talk.
Me.
Okay. Well, let's have a moment here of reflection because Matt's that ISU Extension office. What a great link to the community.
Oh, yeah. And Extension Services, you know, they bring Iowa State's innovations to the people of Iowa and some of the things that have been developed.
Now there is no more morning dew. What they've been saying all these goddamn years has come true, I knew it would. Now there's no more morning.
And a great development just upstream from us at Ada Hayden Heritage Park. I think Wolf Osterich has been able to join us this morning. Hey, Wolf.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, it's so great to have a good connection with you. And you're out at Ada Hayden, is that correct?
Correct, yep. I was just exploring the South Wetland Complex where there's still one great blue heron.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you would think great blue herons are kind of floating around, but they won't be able to chisel through the ice one of these days. So that's got to be a great keystone species for you.
Yep. Although one year we had a great blue that stayed until December 31st.
And you would know that because you are the eyes and one of the best biologists Ames has had the good fortune to associate with. And I say that affectionately. Irv Kloss has told me that Wolf Oesterreich, he is really a great biologist. Have been many waterfowl numbers showing up?
Well, the numbers of Canada geese keep increasing. And I've seen now blue-winged teal, green-winged teal, American widgeon. And today there's one male ruddy duck out on the South Lake.
Oh,
swimming with about seven pie-billed grebes and 14 American coots.
And that ruddy duck, what an attractive bird. But in the fall, how would you describe that bird to our listeners?
It's a small brown duck with the male has a big white cheek still.
So look for the white.
That really stands out.
And that would be a good feature species for people to check out over the weekend then.
Oh, yes.
And today you say you're seeing it on the South Pond?
Yes, South Lake.
South Lake, yeah.
I was just going to ask, does it have the little stickle tail this time of year, Wolf?
It wasn't keeping it up. It was down.
Because they're noted, especially in the spring during their courtship, that that's one of their prominent little features.
Right, right.
Is there a species that you're kind of hoping for with each storm front? I guess we had a mild front kind of come through last evening that quite often will bring the northern visitors down to us. Is there anything you're kind of looking forward to?
Well, more species of ducks. Although the storm we had last night came from the wrong direction, so that wouldn't have pushed any in our area.
Oh, you would know that. That's sure. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I was referring to northwestern winds that are more typical this time of year.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
You always hope to see some scoters or a long-tailed duck or something like that that's kind of more unique.
Mm-hmm.
I did find a male spotted towhee yesterday out here at the park. It's not very common because we're kind of more on the eastern fringe of its habitat, the eastern towhee, which is more common to our area. Both of them used to be the same species, the rufous-sided towhee, and then many years ago, the experts decided to split them into two different species.
So the spotted towhee was a really nice visual for you, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
What was
everybody
it?
Wants to, I have a picture of it. I posted on eBird, so they can go to eBird, my checklist for yesterday, and they can see a picture of it.
And they would just Google eBird?
Go to eBird, and then you have to go down and you have to go search for Story County, and then you have to find Ada Hayden, and then you can find the checklist.
There you go. Are you hoping to see any loons?
I am.
Yeah.
But I have not seen any yet.
Sure.
Although, the early years of the park, we would get them every fall. And it's just lately, the last few years, where they seem to just kind of fly over us and not even stop here.
Well, a special bird, I guess, to all of us are the bald eagles. I might point out there was an adult bald eagle over Cooper's Marsh. Now, that's kind of northeast of Ames. And it was flying northeast. And I think it was headed right to where my acreage is, and I was kind of hoping it would swing by there also. How would you describe the eagle viewing out there at Ada Hayden this time
of
year?
Well, I've seen probably at least one eagle a day, and it's kind of divided between immatures and adults.
Okay. So the younger the year, they would be the darker ones, and I guess the adults would have the white head and white tail, kind of what we think
Correct.
Of. It takes maybe 5 years for that. But so it sounds like if people would like to see an eagle, make a destination for Ada Hayden, and if you're seeing one a day, they might be just as fortunate also.
Correct. Yeah. Just make sure you look up.
Be watching up. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you probably could see migrating greater white-fronted geese too. There was one day we had over 100 of them go by in two different flocks.
How would you differentiate between greater white fronts and the Canada geese?
Well, first by sound, they sound more like they're laughing at you than the Canada geese.
Kind of higher and pitch, then, yeah?
Correct. And then if you can see their bellies, they're speckled with black. So that's another colloquial name for them is speckle bellies. whereas, you know, the Canada geese have a solid color.
Mm-hmm. So kind of watch for the
speckled bellies
and a lot of calling, just a lot of that, mm-hmm. that laughter that you describe, or higher pitch, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. When you hear it for the first time, you go, oh, I'll be darned, that sounds kind of unique. And it is from the sound that you can then generally locate them, and it kind of builds mm-hmm. from there. And then you've got a bird to kind of watch for in your return trips and to talk about with your neighbors and family and friends. And mm-hmm. and what a great service you provide, one of the best, the crown jewel, I think, of our Ames Parks and Rec program is Ada Hayden Heritage Park. It's just great that you're willing to come on and kind of share these exciting developments. Anything else, Mike Metz?
Oh, I was just wondering, Wolf, the turkey vultures are still around, but I assume they're going to be pulling out here shortly.
Correct. Yeah, I'm only seeing that anywhere from 1 to 3 a day now. We even see an osprey occasionally still, and they should be heading south too.
Yeah, that is interesting. They're kind of, they don't like to linger. So if you're seeing one occasionally, that's a great bird to watch for too. Just quite a bit more white than you see on the bald eagles.
It's really great to watch them dive into the lake and pull up a fish.
That would make the weekend, you'd have something to cherish for all month after seeing an osprey hit in the water. Well, this is great having you with us, Wolf Oestrich. Thank you so much for your birding reports at Ada Hayden Heritage Park.
Well, thank you, and you guys have a good day.
Have a good weekend. Thanks again, Wolf. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday at 89.1 FM. So tell your friends far and wide, KHOI is streaming live at khoifm.org, and hit the play donate button.
And thank you, Local Talk producers Ursula Rudenberg and Lynn Carey. And thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. And thanks to engineer Mike Murphy and to our guests, Gina Nichols, Susan Guiasta, Sarah Van Meteren, and Wolf Oestreich, and Michaela Vandenberg, Ag and Natural Resources Extension Program Director. And thank you, Pat.
Hey, thank you, Mike Metz, for co-hosting Local Talk. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard were Bonnie Dobson, and from Jeff Beck's Truth, we heard Morning Dew. Stay tuned for Headline News and Democracy Now!, and remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again
on the radio.